Minority Health Commission and also a faculty member at UAMS, and Dr. Greg Bledsoe, our Surgeon General, and then Dr. Jen Jones at UAMS in the Department of Health Emergency Medicine. And so they wanted all of Arkansas to see some of the key advisors to our Secretary of Health, as well as to Dr. Patterson, as we sort through this here in Arkansas. Today, we have 33 confirmed positive cases in Arkansas. Yesterday, the number was 22. That's 11, an increase. Some of you might have heard a smaller number earlier today, but we've had a couple more come in from the commercial labs, and so currently there are 33 confirmed cases in Arkansas. Of these, 11 are new, as I indicated, and they're in three new counties that include Washington County, Bradley County, and Faulkner County. Most of these are travel-related or part of the original exposure that's happened previously, and these are just extension of those known clusters we have in the case. I did want to, if we could sort of separate here a little bit and see if we can bring up on the screen. First of all, I think this is instructive for everyone in Arkansas. You see from March 11 all the way through the current date, March 18th, where we went from one positive case to 6 to 9, 12, 16. And then 2 days in a row, we had 22, and then we shot up to 33. And so I think you'll see in the coming days that the number increase, but someday it might flatten, and it's probably because of the irregularity of some of the testing numbers coming in. And so just like yesterday when we didn't have an increase, it's 22-22, I don't want anybody to have a false sense of security that we're over this. And so there'll be different numbers coming in, but you can see the growth pattern there that we're continuing to monitor. And then if you go to the next slide, you'll see the positive and negative results, where we've had 30 positive tests, 236 negative tests. And so you can see how the volume of testing is increasing, and obviously most of them come back negative. And please help with the rumors, because a lot of times you'll hear, well, this store or this business had someone go in for testing, and they immediately assume it's a positive test. Well, the odds are it's a negative test. And so we just can't overreact again and panic just because of what we hear. And then the final slide is a point that I think is important to make. And this is a fairly elementary map, but it does show the sources of some of the cases in Arkansas. In fact, the vast majority of cases in Arkansas are travel-related. And so we have, at the bottom, you see one case related to travel to France, two cases related to travel to India, and then six, and it's actually eight cases now, related to domestic travel. And that includes multiple connections to Colorado, one to Springfield, Missouri, there's one in Las Vegas, and New Orleans. And so those are some of the geographic areas that individuals from Arkansas have traveled to and brought back and tested positive. The message, again, before spring break next week, everyone needs to rethink the risk of travel and what happens when you go and you meet with people that you don't know, you come back, and that leads not just to the six cases related to domestic travel, but it leads to multiple cases beyond that of the people that those who have traveled have connected with. And so just want everyone to be mindful of that. And then in terms of testing, and Dr. Patterson will comment more specifically on it, but I think you can see that our testing capacity is increasing. Not as fast as we all want, but it is increasing. We expect UAMS and their lab facility to go online this weekend. That will add, I believe it's 240 to our testing capacity. And then finally, I want to express my thanks to the healthcare workers that have done so well in the physician community that are working so hard. And we have added, of course, telemedicine and telehealth as a more effective means of establishing the patient relationship and carrying on the counseling of the patient that's needed. And we have now have it resolved so that the physician or the provider can bill their insurance carrier or Medicaid for that telemedicine physician or medical services that are provided. With that, I'll ask Dr. Smith to come and give his update, followed by Dr. Patterson.
Thank you, Governor. The Governor has given you an update on our numbers with 11 new cases since we talked to the media yesterday. That's the largest single-day increase that we've had. I did say yesterday that as we do more testing, we're likely to find new positive cases, and that this is a very dynamic situation, and we do expect as the week goes on that we'll continue to see an increase in cases. But still, the majority of the test results that we get back, both from our lab and from commercial labs, are negative. So we have a situation that is that the people of Arkansas need to pay attention to. Some folks are saying, well, you know, there's nothing big about this. That's an underreaction. And then we don't want people to overreact as well. Business is clearing out because someone just went for a test. So as we go along, we just need to continue to monitor the situation, and we're working with folks to enable testing to continue to increase and give a proper instruction and advisement to the public as we go along. So thank you.
Good afternoon. I want to thank Governor Hutchinson and his office for pulling this group together. And I especially want to thank Dr. Smith for the collaboration that we're receiving with the Department of Health. Healthcare providers across the state are banding together to address this critical healthcare crisis. We are in communication with the executive officers of hospitals all across the state to ensure that they are informed and that we are spreading protocols, policies, and procedures throughout the state to ensure that patients are being appropriately screened and also that health providers are doing that screening in a safe and effective way. At the present time, there are hotlines at many hospitals that are available for phone calls. UAMS Health Now is an online free portal that allows anyone interested to receive a free COVID-19 screening through their iPhone, tablet, or cell phone. And currently there are a number of hospitals that are offering drive-through screening. The ones that I know of right now are Arkansas Children's Hospital. That's obviously for children only. Baptist Health Medical Center in Heber Springs, Baptist in Little Rock, Conway Regional Medical Center, and I understand that they require a GP's referral. Jefferson Regional Medical Center, North Arkansas Regional Medical Center, St. Bernard's in Jonesboro, UAMS, of course, and Washington Regional in Fayetteville. Currently, the number of screenings is rising almost exponentially as concern spreads throughout the community. Just for example, at UAMS, as of 2 days ago, we'd done 500 screenings. Yesterday, we had done 500 screenings total. Yesterday, we did 500 screenings. So the numbers are rising rapidly, and that's straining the system. And currently, we are experiencing an issue that is actually affecting hospitals across the United States, and that is sample kits for testing are in limited supply. And that is going to be a problem for us, and certainly in the short term. We're working with the Department of Health to look at alternative means by which we can swab and collect samples from patients. But this is an issue that I know is affecting multiple hospitals across the state of Arkansas, and we are looking to a solution for that as quickly as we can. We also know that hospitals are critically burdened by consumption of personal protective equipment. And I appreciate the governor for reaching out to us to look for solutions that we can provide for all the hospitals across the state that are having trouble procuring protective equipment. I want to join the governor in thanking all the healthcare providers who are putting themselves in harm's way and working tirelessly to make sure that we are keeping the people of the state of Arkansas as healthy as possible. And I appreciate everyone, including the Department of Health, for pulling together with us in a collaborative way so that we are amplifying our resources and working the best we can for the people of Arkansas.
Thank you. And this is a virus that impacts all of us. There's not any exemptions, even though we have particular vulnerable populations. And I wanted to recognize Dr. Greenfield. I appreciate him being here, his work on the Minority Health Commission. I want to make sure that he is able to communicate today to all of our population from his perspective and any particular message for the minority community.
Thank you. So I think the thing that's most important is that this virus, we all know, it doesn't recognize geographical boundaries or population boundaries. And it's important, particularly for minority communities, which quite often are overrepresented in many healthcare conditions such as diabetes, hypertension, and asthma, that those conditions do raise the risk of this being a more severe disease if contracted. So heed all due warnings regarding protection, social distancing, and all protective measures. And as an obstetrician gynecologist, I would like to reassure the pregnant population that this does not appear to pose an increased risk to pregnant women. So take advice that's been provided by the Department of Health and the CDC as we get through these difficult times.
I think it'd be probably helpful if we go ahead and take a few questions now that's related to this. And then I'd like to bring my economic team up here, and then we'll open up again for questions on the broad arena, and we'll call them back up if we need. But I want to go ahead and take two or three questions now before we go to our next segment. Dr. Smith.
As you know, last week we had a case that we didn't have, it wasn't related to out-of-state travel and was not a known contact to a known case. So we knew we had some element of community transmission in the Little Rock area. We're looking at each of these new cases. The vast majority of the new ones are either clearly travel-related or are known contacts to known cases. But we've not completed our investigation of all of them. But we do know that we have evidence of some level of community spread in the Little Rock area.
Do we know how many beds in hospitals we have and what the capacity is for the state?
Actually, the Arkansas Department of Health has a continual update on that, including ICU beds. That's part of our preparedness response planning with the hospitals. So that is something that we monitor continuously, not just during this COVID-19 outbreak.
So do we know the number?
I don't have that number with me, but it is available. And as you imagine, the number of hospital beds, especially ICU beds, they change not just daily but hourly. But we do monitor that carefully so that we know where we may have areas of particular need in the state.
Can you comment on the supplies?
Let me go ahead and let Dr. Patterson answer that.
Yeah, so I just wanted to add, I appreciate Dr. Smith's remarks. Because of the nature of this infection and also our demands on capacity, as you probably know, the Surgeon General in Washington has recommended that that non-necessary medical procedures be suspended. And the hospitals in central Arkansas recently sent to Mayor Scott a letter outlining that we're all in agreement that that's the case and we've taken those measures. And so that is freeing up capacity for us in the event that we need additional beds for patients who might be COVID-19 infected. But to my knowledge, there's only been one patient that's had a prolonged stay in any hospital as a result of the COVID-19 infection.
Would you be able to comment on the personal protective gear that hospital workers and everybody has to have? I understand that a hospital in Georgia has gone through a 5-month supply within 6 days. and now they're looking at potentially having to buy masks at $7 a pop.
Yeah. So
what's the status here?
Yeah, so that's a major issue and something that we are devoting a lot of time and effort to, so I'm grateful to you for bringing that issue up. So just to put it in perspective, we normally maintain at UAMS a 3-week supply of personal protective equipment. But for one patient, if that patient is in an intensive care unit setting, you might go through 400 or 500 changes of personal protective equipment among all the healthcare professionals that are taking care of that patient in one single day. So the burn rate can be substantial. As our usual supply chains have dried up, we've had to go out to other suppliers, and we've talked about the issue of gouging in some circumstances that we have seen in the marketplace. And we are working with the governor's office, and I hope that through some creative sourcing opportunities, we might be able to obtain a substantial amount of personal protective equipment, enough that we can distribute this to all the hospitals in the state. But we need to do a little bit more work on the sourcing for that and identifying funding resources for that.
And I would add that I was pleased that the president invoked his emergency powers and statutory authority to help direct the supply chain during this crisis. That's something that I've advocated for that I believe is necessary at the national level. We're taking responsibility ourselves. We're trying to engage in procurement at the state level, but it needs national guidance. In the meantime, though, we're going to be meeting as soon as this is over, looking at what we can add in terms of the state to help in that procurement. Let's take one more question here, then we're going to break.
Will you be giving us a breakdown as to infection and age,
I'm going to let Dr. Smith follow up if there is some specific information after that. And that's a very appropriate question, but I know that that's some detail he'll have to try to get for you. And so with that, if y'all could stay available, because there could be another question that comes up, and let me bring on my economic team here. I'll be joined by Secretary Preston, Secretary of Commerce, Secretary Walther, Department of Finance, Secretary Fetcher at Transformation and Shared Services, and then Secretary Gillespie as well at Department of Human Services. And I'll just add, Secretary Fetcher has been very instrumental through our transformation efforts of making sure that we have the adequate division of labor among our agencies to meet this crisis. Yesterday, while I was in West Memphis, we provided emergency action for laid-off workers needing immediate unemployment compensation. We cut through the red tape, we streamlined the process, and that was an important step, particularly in an area that very well could have 900 laid-off workers from one industry that had to close as a result, at least temporarily, as a result of this virus. Today, we're taking action to support small businesses that are hurting and companies that are having to consider layoffs under the current economic circumstances. The state cannot cover the loss of every business, but we can help to provide bridge loans to help companies weather this slowdown and to retain workers during this national emergency. Today I had a call with our Senate Pro Tem, Jim Hendren, as well as the Speaker Shepherd, other members of various committees in the General Assembly, and they offered their full support for this initiative. We're in regular communication, and it was really from them that we heard a lot of the concerns of small businesses in their districts. And so today, we'll be allocating $12 million of community development block grant funds to support relief and recovery efforts to companies and nonprofits impacted by COVID-19. The first priority will be hospitals and businesses essential to getting over this crisis. Now, this is money that we can allocate for this. These are federal funds, and we're working with our federal congressional delegation to make sure that we have the proper guidance from HUD so that we can allocate these funds and get them out the door. I just had a conference with governors, and one of the things that we want to communicate to Washington is whenever you get your emergency relief bill, give the states a maximum amount of flexibility so we can tailor-make these resources for our community. But we are allocating that $12 million for relief and emergency efforts. Secondly, I want to announce today that we're going to use $4 million of the Governor's Quick Action Closing Fund to support a bridge loan program for mid-sized companies to make payroll, working capital, and to stay in operation. You can imagine that with this almost halt to some of the economic activity in certain sectors, and some of it directly caused by response to the COVID-19 emergency, there's many businesses that are wondering how they can meet payroll. Are we going to have to lay people off? What decisions do we need to make? Can we get a loan? And so we're going to be authorizing this $4 million for loans up to $250,000. And then finally, yesterday I made a formal request for a disaster declaration for small businesses in Arkansas. Once this is approved, then this will open up loans up to $2 million for working capital for an individual business to survive the COVID-19 emergency. Secondly, whenever you look at small businesses, one of the challenges they face is simply their employees showing up to work because a lack of childcare services in light of the school closings. Today, I received notice that 803 childcare providers across Arkansas have closed. Now, just think about the impact on that of families that are needing to work but needing to take care of children at the same time. And so it makes it difficult for our working families. We are today providing incentives for childcare provided during this emergency. And this will mean that there's more than the ordinary vouchers that will go to childcare. It will actually be an incentive level of voucher for these childcare workers and services that stay open from now through March 27th. And I want to I'll ask Secretary Gillespie to elaborate on that as she comes to the podium. In addition, when it comes to SNAP benefits, we're suspending the work requirement through the end of April so that there won't be any hardship or difficulty in making sure that they have the food security that is needed. With this, I'd like to have Secretary Preston come and elaborate on those incentives, followed by Secretary Gillespie.
Thank you, Governor, and we appreciate the declarations yesterday related to UI. I know that's already made an immediate impact, and our team with the Department of Workforce Services is working hard to get that up and running and implemented. And a big thank you to all the healthcare workers and the team, the cabinet around us, who's worked so hard and so diligently to see us through this crisis. But a special thanks to all the workers throughout the state of Arkansas, whether they be in the healthcare industry or food processing or retail and logistics, that really keep our economy driving for so long and have been the backbone of our economy. These are the folks who are going to help us see it through it, and we want to do what we can to provide relief. So as the governor mentioned, we've kind of got three different avenues that a business can go to look for relief. The first would be through the SBA that he mentioned, the declaration that was requested yesterday. Hopefully to see a letter back from the SBA by the end of the week that's going to be moving forward. For those interested, you can go to the SBA website, www.sba.gov/coronavirus, and you can pull down the application there and get that in. You can also call the local office here in Arkansas at 501-324-7279. In terms of the CDBG, as the governor alluded to, we're working very closely with our congressional delegation. This is a federally funded program. HUD made the authorization that we can do a set-aside of our CDBG allotment for COVID-19 relief. The governor has authorized us to do so in the tune of $12 million that we have available. We're waiting further guidance from that, what we can break down between general assistance and economic development. We want to see that, again, go out in the form of loans to companies to help bridge that gap. And then for an immediate need, as the governor said, the governor's quick action closing fund. This is really an unprecedented move that we've seen with this fund, but this is going to be something that's going to be impactful and immediate to businesses. What we're looking for is priority in companies that are in the supply chain of essential goods and services, including healthcare, food manufacturing, logistics, those companies that are so important to our economy, getting the supplies out to those in need right now. So we look to stand that up here in the next couple of days. I encourage businesses to go to our website, www.arkansasedc.com/COVID-19. That's the Arkansas Economic Development Commission website. We have a landing page right there that's going to have all this information available. You can call our office, 501-682-1121, and we have that information available. I'll be hosting a call at 3:30 this afternoon with all of our local economic developers and Chamber of Commerce directors around the state to push this information out to them. So if you're a business in a community and you're comfortable with your chamber and you want to work through them, they're going to have all these details, and our team will work closely. We have email links set up on that webpage that I mentioned, so if you're a business inquiring, please send us an email, and our team will return to you as soon as possible. Governor, I thank you for allowing us this opportunity to really support and help those businesses out there. We want to learn what we can do to make a difference and hopefully bridge this gap. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Governor. And I do want to echo Secretary Preston's comments, what the healthcare workers in this state are doing and what the essential personnel are doing throughout the supply chain is just amazing. And we depend on them enormously. The efforts that I'm going to talk about today really do tie very directly to that. We have had, as the governor said, over 800 child care centers that have closed in this state during this period. That means we have about 1,200 that are still open, and we want to support those being open. That's particularly important because this allows our health care workers to do their jobs because their children are taken care of. So we're doing several things today. One is for those providers who remain open through March 27th, and March 27th is tied to the date that school is set to resume. We will adjust the date depending on what happens with the schools opening, since many of these child care providers are tied to schools. So through March 27th, we are going to reimburse at an enhanced rate, as he said, $10 in addition on these child care development block grants. So $10 additional for an infant or a toddler, $5 for someone who is in, $7 for a preschool child, and then for a school age child, we'll be doing an additional $5 per day. So that enhanced rate, we are hoping, will help support those that are open being able to pay the more. We typically pay out about $5 million a month in child care voucher services, to give you a perspective on what this means. We're also going to do a few other things for those who are able to serve more. We're going to raise the capacity, the occupational capacity, allow them to be four above occupational capacity in case they are able to bring in others. We're going to also waive some requirements around education in this temporary period for those who work there so that they can bring in additional services, additional workers if they not like, or additional directors. We are also going to allow them, since a number are setting up larger operations quickly, we are going to allow them in this period to be able to mix children age 5 to 12 instead of having to keep them in separate areas so that they can mix the services that are being provided to them. And then if they should need to bring on additional workers, obviously what we would like them to do is hire other workers from the daycares that are closed. But if they need to do a background check, we can do expedited background checks. If they will visit one of 17 sites where we have live scans, we can do a background check in the same day. So we will be posting all of that information. We're also going to post on our website all the open child care centers. So there is a place for someone to go to see what centers are open. So we will continue to support those child care centers. For the mothers and fathers who have a child on a voucher, what we are going to do is suspend the voucher renewal process for 30 days so that no one has to worry about losing their child care voucher during this public health emergency. We're shifting then over to SNAP, which is the program that provides food benefits to individuals. As the governor mentioned, in Arkansas, there is a work requirement for adults it's called able-bodied adults without dependents have a work requirement in the state, and we're going to grant a mass good cause exemption for the month of April and the month of May for the individuals that have that work requirement, so that if they don't report their work requirements, they will not lose their SNAP benefits. And then for those who, due to this emergency, do need SNAP benefits now because of loss of income, they will be able, when they call us, to be put into or contact us online, whichever way they go or come in, we will be able to put them into an expedited process.
Some assistance to the families and businesses in Arkansas. With that, we're happy to take any questions.
Are you still confident that school's reopening at the end of the month?
We are planning for schools to reopen. As we've indicated, I'm impressed that education is going on this week. We're actually, the First Lady is watching one of our grandchildren, and she's having to do a lot online with their educational program. So it is working. Education is ongoing. But I've met with educators in West Memphis and Northwest Arkansas across this state, and I've indicated to them we have to plan for reopen on March 30th when spring break is over. Obviously, if CDC changes their guidance, we'll have to look at it. We'll look at the circumstances. But, you know, what are we going to look at in terms of the cases that we have 2 weeks from now? I expect the cases will go up, and we have to make a decision as to what our future looks like and what we can manage. But we want to be able to plan on school returning, and that's the whole purpose here, to let us know what our circumstance is in Arkansas, and we want to plan on going back to school on March 30th.
Is there anything being done in the unemployment office? We're receiving a lot of anecdotal stories about people just not being able to get through, whether it be websites lagging, calls not being answered, or things of that nature. Is there going to be any efforts to sort of beef up that department?
We'll certainly put resources there as needed. It's natural that there is an influx and some people are used to going in, they're not used to calling. We've got to adjust the online, the calling time, and I'm going to ask Secretary Preston, because I know that yesterday there was some hiccups that we're trying to address. But Mike.
Thank you, Governor. And there was a kind of a national issue that impacted the website yesterday. But, I mean, this is the largest influx of people applying for unemployment since we've seen since 2008. So, naturally, there's probably going to be some slowdowns. Again, we're encouraging people to not go into the offices. We don't want, you know, large crowds forming and congregating in lines at the local employment offices. That's why we have this option available online and call. I would just encourage those who are having trouble, stick with it. We're working through it. Our statewide call system should be up and running smoothly by Friday. Right now they can call the local offices support, but then the 1-800 number will be up on Friday. That'll hopefully alleviate some of those pressures too. So I would just encourage those, continue to try to go online, continue to call. We'll get it done. We'll get it done.
Can't get a number of people to the
problem. I don't have that right number right now.
Is there a plan for factory workers at this point? We're getting a lot of calls from people who are either afraid to lose their jobs if they don't show up, or they're afraid that they're going to potentially catch something while on the job on the assembly line. I know the governor of New York has mandated that only 50% of the workforce be at work. Non-essential. So is there a plan, you know, the shoe factory in DeWitt, is that an essential factory that needs to stay open?
Well, each of these businesses, the shoe factory in DeWitt, if you use that as an illustration, that's important to all the families that work there and make their income there. And, employers are taking steps to make sure that they have a safe environment for the employees to work. What is an essential service? That hasn't been defined clearly, but for now, I want businesses to operate. They can do it in a safe environment. We're not shutting down our commerce. We want to produce, and if you start shutting down the commerce, then there's even going to be incredible exacerbation of the number of people that are unemployed, and it will be a drag on our economy even further and hurt families more. And so you try to provide a healthy environment in the workplace and that's why we're making these loans and making these economic assistance packages so we can keep these places going. You know, in terms of, you know, I recommended no more than 50, in an event place. And so we've had a lot of events canceled. There's a little distinction between an event in which you have people that might be coming from multiple states to that event versus a workplace or a commercial establishment in which you know who's coming there and you can take the necessary precautions and you can have the distancing, the social distancing. You can accommodate the space requirements. You make adjustments in the workplace. So I trust that the employers are doing that, but we need to continue to do business in Arkansas. We are looking at this every day. I've met with Secretary Walther yesterday and today as well, and they're tasked with looking at, first of all, what would be the costs to the state? What's the financial impact if we extended the tax filing deadline, as they are considering doing at the federal level? So we're looking at that measure. You know, what is it going to do? How can we project the reduction in sales tax and individual income tax payments? We're trying to measure all of that, and we'll make the decisions as we need to. Grateful for a rainy day fund, grateful for a current surplus, but that will be eaten up very, very quickly if we don't take the right measures in terms of watching the state budget and making any adjustments that are needed. Larry, do you want to come?
You covered it all.
Let's wait and see. Right now we're on target, we're on budget, but I don't expect to be there next month. So we're measuring it, we're going to make decisions. Our first obligation is to not only balance the budget, but also take what steps we can to support our hospitals, our healthcare workers that are out there, and those are the ways that we're spending our time right now. I am confident. The partnership between the Department of Health and UAMS has been very effective. And so whenever I look at that increased testing capacity, that is something we're doing, we're controlling here. And so we're not dependent upon outside sourcing right now. And so I'm confident in that leadership team and their ability to get it done.
Have we seen anybody recover yet? We're getting into that week-long
I'm going to – Melissa, Mike, you want to answer that?
I could try. It wouldn't be too accurate.
The vast majority of individuals who've been infected have been managed as outpatients and are all doing well. There's been one critically ill patient who was severely impacted by the virus, but that individual has turned the corner and is on a glide path to going home.
But has anybody been, I guess, sort of officially – recovered from COVID-19?
We've had a number of people who've recovered from their symptoms. We know that there's a prolonged viral shedding, so we're having them continue to remain isolated until we feel comfortable that their risk of communicating the virus to someone else is minimal.
It is my understanding that there are 54 pending tests through the Department of Health, but they weren't able to tell us how many are pending at Quest or LabCorp. So do we know how many tests, or are there any potential backlogs to testing?
We don't really have visibility on those commercial labs, and that's one of the challenges is that providers send those tests off to a lab and it's done out of state. How many are in the queue and exactly how long it will take to get those results back, we don't know. We are working very hard to make sure that we get all of those lab results at the Department of Health so we can see not only the positive results, but the negative results. But until we receive those results, we really don't know how many have been sent and how many that will eventually be coming to us.
Just make it clear that we electronically have visibility on all the results from the private sector labs. We just don't see it on the front end, as the doctor said. And that's something that would be helpful to us if we had that visibility.
So does that change the number of people that are being monitored? If you don't know how many pending tests are happening, does that change the amount of numbers that are being reported as far as how many are being monitored?
Anyone who a healthcare provider feels warrants testing should be in quarantine or isolation. So again, we don't want to slow that process down. The health department is monitoring those that we know about and that are at high risk because of risk factors. But anyone who goes for testing, if they have a clinical suspicion or risk factors that warrant testing, that also should warrant home quarantine or home isolation.
Yes, sir.
Governor, people are asking us there at the news station, can employers force you to come into work?
The question is whether employers can force someone to come into work. No, it's a we're primarily employees are at their own free will. They can leave at any time, and they can be fired at any time. So, obviously, I expect the employers to deal responsibly, and I think that most employers are. They're trying to make their workplace safe, but they have an expectation, of course, that workers come. If a worker does not feel comfortable in that environment, then they need to talk to their employer about it, and they need to make a decision. But we don't want to live by fear. And just like here in state government, we have our state employees that are working in the governor's office that they want to take precautions. But, state government has to go on, and I have to expect them to be here and to do the work of the people. I consider that essential. And most of these jobs are essential in the flow of commerce.
For seniors,
well, I think the seniors are taking their life in their own hands in the sense that they are sheltering. They're staying in their homes. They're being cared for, making sure that they have meals that delivered to them if need be. But the senior citizens are being careful about going out in the public, and they're the most vulnerable population. And so that's not something the government has to mandate. That's what human behavior dictates is appropriate, and they're adopting that. The question is about bars and restaurants and the view of the city of Little Rock. Mayor Scott and I talk every day. And he's been a great partner through all of this. And we want to, unless there's some special uniqueness about Little Rock, we want to treat the restaurants statewide in the same fashion. And that's why under my executive order, we can't have individual cities making decisions that deal with our state's commerce. And so we're making that judgment, listening to our public health advisors that are here in this room. And we'll evaluate it day by day. But as I've said before, the public is being careful. Many of them are not going to restaurants. Restaurants are responding by having takeout delivery. And whenever you dine in, they have, designed to have fewer people in the place, in the restaurant, and they have proper spacing. And so, that's how the public is careful about it. And so far, I think it's working well. If we have to take an additional steps, we will. I want to repeat the question. I was coming up here, but the question is how many cases can we link to the original case in Pine Bluff?
I don't have those exact numbers with me. Approximately a third of our cases so far have been in some way related to that initial cluster.
Do we know how many total testing kits we have in the state right now?
In terms of how many we have at the Department of Health?
Department of Health, UAMS, and any other place is going to be using testing.
Currently, the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Laboratory is the only site in the state that's doing testing. We began with a capacity for about 2,000, and we are able to reorder as we need it. So we don't have a limitation on testing kits at the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Laboratory, at least not at this time. Our limitations are really more the capacity of our instruments, the ability to scale that up as much as possible.
And just to clarify, are we still only able to test 20 a day? Is that correct?
No. Yesterday we tested almost 60. We'll continue to increase that. And we also have some additional instruments on order. So as we get those, we'll continue to scale up our response, even as UAMS is able to go even further with the machine that arrived, I believe, today.
One last question.
What advice, kind of an easy question for both of you, what advice do you have for the legislature in terms of meeting in the fiscal session given this 51st guidance?
The question was, what advice do we have for the General Assembly about the fiscal session that is set to begin in a couple weeks? And I'll answer that first, because it's first a constitutional question, and the Constitution dictates that the legislature will meet at that particular time. And so that's hard to avoid that. I did speak with the Speaker and Senate Pro Tem today, and they're meeting regularly on that. They will meet in session as the Constitution requires, but based upon the circumstances there, they will take whatever necessary precautions they need if they need to do more remotely. But that is their decision to make. They're a separate legislative body, but they have assured me that they will be in session as the Constitution requires. Do y'all want to override the Constitution? Well, actually, yeah,
you might.
They will have to answer those questions. They'll have to answer those questions. I'll continue to work with them, and we can be flexible under these circumstances. Their first priority is to make sure that we have the support that we need for our citizens during this time. And if it needs a budget passed, they're going to get it passed. And if we need special appropriations, they're going to get that done. And so they'll work through the logistics of it. And Dr. Smith, I didn't want to be flippant about that, because you take that very seriously.
No, I take it very seriously. And I think there is now video technology that could potentially be used to minimize risk. Again, this is a very dynamic situation. You know, we had a significant increase in the number of cases over the last 24 hours, and we'll just have to see how this plays out over the next days and weeks. But fortunately, in 2020, we have a lot of options for meeting that weren't available in previous decades.
Well, I had a call from a national media outlet today asking, is it true that I'm going to close the borders of Arkansas? And I assured them the answer is no. There's many rumors that are out there, and our job here is to dispel those, to deal with facts, to assure everyone in Arkansas that we're working very hard to deal with this public health emergency, but also to make sure that the best we can continue what's important for our families and what they need to provide for their loved ones. Thank you very much.